Joey said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
What are we doing here?
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
Great day to have Jason Wilde, and we got a lot of Packer things for him, but I'm sorry, Ryan Wollersheim.
We have a lot to unpack with Jason Wilde.
That's Matt Hamilton. She's Holly Brown. Jason, I hope you're doing well, but Ryan, I don't know if you were following along with the show. Ryan had a quote-unquote blind date with the show, and one of Jen's friends, one of Matt's wife's friends, joined him on a blind date. And they had met, I guess, a little bit
ahead
of time.
Jason is fully aware.
So he's fully aware. So is he fully aware of what happened then?
Yes, he is.
All right. So, Jason, any advice for our heartbroken producer?
I'll say this. Jason was one of two people who knew about the previous date before the blind date, actually.
Oh, this is
so what? Jason and Matt were the only ones that knew?
Correct.
Me and Jim were in the dark?
Yes.
All right.
Wow. I like it. I like that a lot.
All right.
Because Jason is a trusted investigative reporter. I knew that he would keep this.
Before he wrote his story about Ryan's love interest?
You never know. I thought maybe it would be something to write home about. What can I say? Obviously, it wasn't.
I am a terrible secret keeper historically, but in this case, I did not share any of this information outside of Ryan's confidence. I am disappointed. I was hopeful. I thought this would have been an amazing meet cute story, but as I said to him moments ago, there are more fish in the sea, and we've all had disappointments in the dating game, and usually it ends up leading to the right person, or at least the right person for right now.
So, Jason,
I will say, Jason, this is partly to blame on you. I do blame you partially.
Why?
My fault?
Do you not blame yourself for any of your actions on your 8 hours with this girl?
I never said I didn't blame myself, Molly.
Jeez. She's such a savage.
Well, he's not taking any accountability. He's blaming on Jason. Jason's in Green Bay. What are you talking about?
Molly, the last 15 minutes was me describing about all the things I think I did wrong.
I want to know why you think it's Jason's fault.
Well, because he's building up in my mind. This is going to be a great meet cute one day. You'll tell your kids about all this stuff where I'm just building it up in my mind.
That's fair. So you couldn't handle the pressure. Good to know. All right. Next time I will ratchet down expectations. I'll just say stuff like, she's probably not even going to like you anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
who cares?
That's a perfect mindset.
So,
yes.
This might
be the kind of motivational speaker I've always wanted to be.
This might lead into the answer that I think we're going to get from Jason, because I asked Matt and he said, like, with Jen, he knew immediately that she was the one. Obviously, he didn't tell her that right away because he's not a psychopath. But, like, are you someone that falls in love quickly, Jason?
So I'm not proud of this by any means. But Paula knew I had had kind of a not nearly as, you know, debilitating as Rye Guy situation from the weekend. But I had a pretty acrimonious breakup. And so I was not looking for Mrs. Wilde when I met Paula. So I continued to go on dates with other girls after we went on our first dates. She knew that. But she went to work the next day and said that she had met the guy she was going to marry. And she was right. She just had to exercise a little bit of patience with me. Because I was I was a little scarred, I'm not going to lie. That was a long time ago. We met in December of 2005. So we've known each other 20 years now. But that was, luckily she was patient. She didn't say, to hell with you. And I'm incredibly lucky that I ended up with her. So it's... it is a process, and it took me a little while longer than it took her, but I was trying to figure, mostly about myself, trying to figure some things out. So it was it worked out great for me, and someday Rye Guy will have the same story about some lovely gal, but it won't be this one.
All right, trying to stick with this love theme here as I try this. It seems like...
The quarterback being named Love makes for so many different segues.
It does, and I think you were asking, are we too hard on Jordan Love? And I mean, is it something where Packer fans have tasted the premiere of Love, found the one twice, and they're judging Jordan Love by standards of prior girlfriends as opposed to just taking Jordan Love for what he is?
Yeah, first of all, this is why I hate social media. Like, this is exactly why. And, you know, I love Maddie and I love Pablo. They're really good people that do great work. But like, we posted something from this morning show, and I assume that's what you were. I don't think it's not that they've been that he's been too hard. People have been too hard on Love. What my only argument is that like for the crowd that wanted them to step on the Vikings' throats and keep throwing the football and all this other stuff, Jordan Love's injury to his left non-throwing shoulder is severe enough that other players who had the injury, maybe to a little bit greater severity degree, you know, we watched Carson Wentz. Who were they playing where Carson Wentz, I thought he was going to die from the pain.
Yeah. Were they playing the right? Steelers like overseas? That might have been it.
That might have been it, yeah. And so, like, he was in excruciating pain. He kept going out there. Mm-hmm. And then Baker Mayfield on Sunday night, again, same injury, left, non-throwing shoulder, AC joint, sprain, separation, whatever. And I did, I wouldn't say Jordan got edgy with me, but I asked him like three questions in a row today about it. And eventually I said, well, what can you do to kind of protect it? Because obviously the Lions know about it. And what I wanted to say was those dirty jerks, they're going to totally try and take a whack at you like they did after the interception in the first game. Remember Aiden Hutchinson?
Yep.
And he's like, well, I don't want to get into all the details of what we're doing to protect it. But it is a significant injury. It is not to his throwing shoulder. Jordan Love is unlucky in one way, unlucky in love, kind of like Wooly. But he's unlucky in that he has to follow two guys that played through just about everything, right? I mean, Rodgers, a broken collarbone, you cannot play through. But anything else, he played with a broken thumb, Favre did it twice, all that stuff. And in Love's case, you know, I think Rodgers had in 2008, his first year as a starter, he had this injury, but he had it in his throwing shoulder, and he played anyway against Atlanta. I mean, that's preposterous. There's no way that you should be doing that, and he did it. And so in Love's case, I think he feels very much required to play through this, and I'm glad that he is because it's a toughness thing. But I, as a helicopter beat writer, I'm a little bit nervous for him because the Lions, they not only bite kneecaps, but when they know you have an injury, I'm guessing they're going to take a couple of shots on it to try and see if you can handle the pain tolerance.
Jason, what are the vibes around the team in the locker room coming off that big win over Minnesota, but then now heading into Detroit for the second, well, they're playing them for the second time this season, with also the potential of ending their playoff hope if they beat them, right? Like, what does it feel like in the locker room? They could.
I mean, I don't think they're going to end their playoff hopes. No, they're not.
They could.
Come on, Molly. They're 7-4. If they lose, they're 7-5. Like, they could win their last five games and finish 12-5.
But do you actually think they will
end their playoff hopes?
They're up and down. They're very similar to the Packers. They are rocky this year.
Yeah, who is not up and down? Other than the Rams, right now. Yeah, like they all are, right? Like, and look, to your point, Detroit right now at 7-4 is out of the playoff picture. If the season ended today, they would be the 8 seed. The Packers would be the 3 seed, and by some ridiculous act of the football gods, the Chicago Bears would be the 3 seed and win the division. Whether or not that holds up, we'll have to wait and see. The Packers have 2 games against them. But to your point, it wouldn't be the death blow. But you are right. It would be a major blow to the Lions. The weird tie thing that the Packers have on their schedule now, too, or on their results, you know, it eliminates the head-to-head, unless, of course, the Lions tie with someone, I suppose. But, like, if the Packers get this, not only did they have another win, but they will have gone 2-0 against the Lions, which gives them any sort of head-to-head tiebreaker. So you're right. It is an enormous game for them. It is still also a really big game for the Packers. They have the most difficult remaining schedule. Their strength of schedule is the highest in the league for these final 6 games. So it's not like it gets any easier. You know, they've got the Bears, but then their 2 out-of-division games are at Denver and then at home against the Ravens. So the Packers have their work cut out for them. It is what I like to call a fulcrum game. With a lever, you know, and it's going to tip one way or the other.
Jason, what do you think stands in the Packers' way of winning the NFC North the most? The Lions, the Bears, or the Packers themselves?
Or the Vikings.
Oh, really? That's a really clever question.
Well, thank you.
Good job, Matt.
Thank you. I definitely well didn't done. Steal it from yeah. Jim.
Okay, good to know, I think.
unnecessary, Ryan. You can just Matt, you can just own it.
I think the Packers can be, and we've seen this year, kind of their own worst enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Matt LaFleur always talks about it being a week to week league, but let's, you know, think about it. 2 weeks ago, I was on here talking about how they've lost two in a row, right? And one really bad loss. I mean, they've had some bad losses. So that's another reason why I think beating the Vikings on Sunday, while some people poo-pooed it, was important. Like, that is a struggling team with a bad quarterback who can't get the ball to some really good weapons. They started running the ball effectively early. Like, the Packers figured it out, and they ground it out. And this will be a different game. I think as good as the Packers' defense is, I think the Lions are going to put up points. And if Jahmyr Gibbs gets loose, they're in trouble. So a lot of football left to be played, but the Packers, the last thing they want to be doing is beating themselves. If they lose fair and square, if the Bears play at a higher level when they're facing a starting quarterback instead of a backup, I'll be curious to see what happens. But, yeah, the Packers have been their own worst enemy far too often this season.
Jason, awesome stuff. Really appreciate you making time for us today.
I will tell Matt LaFleur you said hello. Well, I'm headed downstairs now. All right, Perfect. Guys, take care. Be good.
Ryan, give me a number.
Let's go number three for now.
But you only made it to two.
I was going to say no third date is why. Call number three.
He can make it to three right now. 844-770-3776. Call number three wins a case of High Life. 844-770-3776. Call number three wins a case of High Life.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
What vanity plate should I switch to? I like this one from PPLIKME, but I think that's one too many letters. And is that People Lick Me? Is
that L-I-K? That looks like People Lick.
I mean, it's not the worst plate they have. People Lick Me.
Having that car
part. It is pee-pee lick.
It is one too many letters.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.